Today is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day that the Holy Ghost came down and just came and became available to every person. And so we've been talking about the kingdom of God. I've been talking about the kingdom of God practically all year. But today I really do want to take some time to talk to you about my friend, the Holy Spirit. And I'm already getting emotional thinking about my friend, the Holy Ghost, man. And what walking in the Spirit has meant for my life and what has been made available. So let's start over in Joel chapter 2. Thank you, Father. Joel chapter 2. It's in the Old Testament. If you have trouble finding it, it's right after Hosea. If that doesn't help you, it's right before Amos. Joel chapter 2. And in verse 28, it's an amazing prophecy that the Lord gave us concerning a future event that would happen hundreds of years after. It shall come to pass afterward that I will. Notice that God said this is what he's going to do. I want you, as you read Scripture, as you get into it, you know, so many times we tend to read Scripture from our own perspective and from our own, you know, what's in it for me kind of thing. But we really need to kind of rethink it sometimes and really look at it from God's perspective. What is his heart in this? He says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon your servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my Spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And so he's talking about a time, a day when new signs and wonders, but the Spirit of God is going to be available to all of humanity. If you'll remember back during Noah's days, God said, my Spirit will not always strive with man. You know, there was this, with what Adam and Eve had done, they, you know, they allowed sin to come into the world. They started living according to the flesh. They started living under sin's control. They started living under death's control. And because of that, humanity began to live contrary or against God himself. And so it came to the point that every thought of man became so wicked that God waited till there was only one person left that was on the earth that he could consider righteous, and that was Noah. And so he saved the earth through Noah, of which Jesus is a type. And so he said, my Spirit will not always strive with man. And so really the whole idea, what God wanted to do was not just redeem man to the state that he was in the Garden of Eden. It was a paradise. Man walked with God. Man had relationship with God in the cool of the day. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome to walk with God and to talk with God? But he didn't want to bring man back to that place. He didn't want to bring you and I back to that place. He wanted to come to a place that we weren't just walking alongside God, but that God was living in us, that God was walking in us and living through us, and that we became not just separate from God, but in union with him. Jesus came to model that union. Turn with me over to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, in verse 20, as Jesus is praying, this is his last prayer before he goes to the cross with his disciples. Neither do I pray for these alone, but for them also. And so this is you and me. He says, I don't pray for just these disciples, but I also pray for those that will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory that you've given me, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. And so Jesus, when he came on the earth, when he came to the earth, was a man that was born perfect, that was a man that was born righteous, because he was born because of a promise. That promise started in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I mean, God immediately said, the seed of woman is going to bust the devil's head, as he was talking to that serpent. But he talked about the virgin birth that would come through Mary, the seed of woman. And so we see the seed, and I talked about that in Easter, that the seed that was carried, the promised seed that came from faith. And so Jesus burst on the scene, the promise of what had started thousands of years, 4,000 years before. Jesus came. And his name was called Emmanuel, God with us. And so God, the Word of God, became human flesh, dwelt here on the earth, and walked among us. But do you know that Jesus, God in the flesh, didn't do a single miracle when he was a child? Didn't do a single miracle when he was a teenager? Didn't do a single miracle when he was a young adult? But somewhere around 30 years of age, he went in to be baptized by John the Baptist. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost descended on him like a dove. And in that moment, God said, the Father spoke from heaven, "This is the Son of my love. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And right there, in that moment in history, you have the Holy Ghost, you have God the Father, and then you have the Son, all three of them there, right there together. And immediately Jesus started being led by the Holy Spirit. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I want to lay some foundation on this. Luke chapter 4. And let's look at, right after this event, what Jesus said. Verse 17, "There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.'" This is after, he's reading this after the Spirit of the Lord had descended upon him, had descended upon human flesh. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear." This prophecy that was prophesied hundreds of years before through the prophet Isaiah was being fulfilled right in that moment when Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. When Jesus came preaching that it's here right now, the power of God to set you free, the power of God to live a different life, the power of God to open blind eyes. He told the Pharisees, he says, "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God," he said, "then that means that the kingdom of God is come unto you." What does that tell me? That the Spirit of God is the enforcer or the demonstrator of the kingdom and the King. That while we have a King that's seated in heaven, while Jesus lives on the inside of us, that the Spirit of God is the one that has anointed us and is here in the earth to expand his kingdom in the earth. That the Holy Ghost is given to enforce what Jesus has decreed, to enforce the word. That the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, let's bring that up. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Look at this. how God anointed it. Here it comes. It's coming. It's on its way. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, because I want you to see it. This is so amazing how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He's showing how Jesus the man, yes, Jesus was God in the flesh. We know that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. But here it says how God anointed that human flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. We're seeing something happen as you read through the Gospels that had never happened before in human history. We're seeing all kinds of sicknesses that is healed. We're seeing curses reversed. We're seeing blind eyes open. We're seeing devils cast out. You don't see the scope of this kind of power happening in any of the prophets, happening in the Old Testament. You're seeing it happen. You're seeing the dead raised to life again because the King is on the earth and he is there to undo what the devil has done. He is there to destroy death. He is there to destroy the curse in our life. He is there to roll it back so that we can experience his life. And he began to, just in that region, while he was there where he could physically have influence, he started right there in Israel, man, just redeeming them, just bringing them back, just running the devil out. Amen. Man, wouldn't it be cool if Jesus was here today doing the same thing? Somebody said he is. Man, turn with me over to John chapter 6, chapter 14, verse 16. He says, I'm going to pray the Father. I will ask the Father. I just love this. He's going to ask the Father for something. He will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's why it's so important that you become, that you give your life to God, that you're born again. The world can't receive the Holy Ghost, but a born again person can. A person that has been made righteous can. Jesus was born righteous so he could receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Spirit was on him without measure. All right. When you give your life to the Lord, what happens is your spirit is recreated. You are born again, the Bible says, of incorruptible seed. You're not the old person. He has made you brand new. We were praying one day and Guy got a word from the Lord. He said, that show, Fixer Upper? All the women says, yeah, my wife like sits there and loves Fixer Upper. The Spirit of God says, you are not a Fixer Upper. Hey, I didn't just come in and just fix you up and just try to, work with what I had to work with. He says, you're a whole new construction. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Created unto good works. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But what does that do? You become a new wineskin. I'm just using some terminology that Jesus used. Jesus said you can't put new wine in an old wineskin because that old wineskin is going to crack and burst and then you're going to lose the new wine. But he says you put new wine in a new wineskin. He made you new so that you could have the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And so he says, I'm going to send you another comforter whom the world cannot receive. He says, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. In another place, he said, it is better for you that I leave so that I can send you the Holy Spirit to live in you. Turn with me over to Luke, the last chapter of Luke. Jesus said this in verse 49 of Luke chapter 24. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father. Somebody say the promise. The promise. The promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed with power from on high. Jesus did not want his disciples to go out and tell of his resurrection. just in their own effort and just in their own power. He wanted them to be clothed with power from on high. It says over in Mark chapter 16, turn with me here. Mark chapter 16, I'm giving you a lot of scripture to begin with to lay a foundation, because we've got to go with what the Word of God says. All right? You've got to live your life according to what the Word says. He told them in verse 15, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned or damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. This isn't just for the disciples. This isn't just for those that lived there in Jesus' time. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall, let's see, what does it say? They, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 20, they went forth, they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now turn with me over to Acts. Let's watch what happens. Let's watch how this prophecy came to pass that we started out in Joel. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Something happened on Pentecost Sunday. Jesus said to them in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1, being assembled together with them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But he says, wait for the promise. Somebody say, the promise. Wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you've heard from me. He says, there's not a promise, but there's the promise. The promise. Man, I just love that. The promise. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized, immersed in the Holy Ghost, not many days from now. And then in verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power. Somebody say power.
Power.
After the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Sounded like a tornado coming into the place. This wasn't just a little. This was like a rushing mighty wind that it filled the heavens itself. This is the Holy Ghost that has just been released into the earth. For all of humanity, not for one or two or three or four, but for all of humanity, he has just invaded the earth and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire. So this fire just went throughout the house, and it says it sat on each one of them and just baptized them. Man, the fire of the Holy Ghost operating in their lives. And it says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men. And so what happened here, there's all these people, they started hearing their own language. They started hearing about, you know, they started hearing them talk about the wonderful things of God in their own language. You know, there are those that would say that all of that happened 2,000 years ago and died away with the apostles. I'm here to tell you that that is true today. That what we just read about, that's still happening today. I know that for a fact. Do you know that for a fact, Wendy? Karis Bible students? Let me tell you this. Yeah, come on. I'm going to tell you a story. Just happened, what, a month ago? A month and a half ago? They were, the ones that are graduating today from Karis Bible College. By the way, I just want to always say, if you if you want to go deeper into the Word of God, if you want to lay a foundation, if you feel like, man, I need to know more, I need to know God more, then I want to tell you, be a part of Charis Bible College. Every single person that I know that has ever gone through Charis Bible College, it's a 2-year course, and they have different ways that you can do it. I'm telling you, that prepares you for ministry. You know more about God. You become more stable. You experience more of God than you've ever known. I cannot tell you enough good that comes from Charis. So that's advertisement, but I mean, you know, you ought to avail yourself to that. So they went. This year's class went down to the country of Panama, a Spanish-speaking country, and to go do mission work. And while they were down there, one of the days that, you know, there's much more to the story, but I'm going to kind of just cut to the chase and tell you this part of it. While they were down there, they were going out to minister, and one of the gentlemen said, "I just believe that the Lord's, I just hear from the Lord that God wants to minister to an Asian man today, an Asian man." In the city of Panama, or in the country of Panama. Okay, that's great. Isn't it great to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you, God wants to lead you. God wants to guide you. God wants to direct you. God wants to talk to you. This is my friend, the Holy Ghost, who I get to talk to and listen to every single day. My life is not the same because of walking and living in the Spirit and what's available to me. I'm telling you, ever since I've learned about the Spirit of God, I experience more of God. And so, you know, to be able to hear something like that, God wants to speak to an Asian man today. And so, you know, they kind of changed direction. They kind of changed course. The leader of the group said, I really believe that the Lord's saying, let's do this today. So they went to another little town, and right there, they're out there in the middle, surrounded by kind of these condemned buildings, you know, where it was a poor area and different story buildings, and, you know, people on the second and third and fourth story. And so they're doing their ministry, you know, out there. And so one of the ladies is preaching the gospel. And as that's going on, we've got other people that's going around, and they're just declaring, you know, that people are going to hear this word and people are going to be saved. And so all of a sudden, the lady says, you up there at the second story, third story, come down and receive Jesus that I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, there was this Asian man that had been on the second story of one of the buildings listening at off his balcony. He comes running down and comes and falls on his knees and says, I want this Jesus that you're talking about.
That's right.
And so he receives Jesus. God had an assignment for the Charis group for that one man.
That's right.
Man. And so they're there, and so they talk to him about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now you're saved, but how about receiving the Holy Ghost? This man who, you know, is Asian and doesn't speak any English whatsoever lets them know through a translator, I want this. And so they lay hands on him. He receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He starts stammering and the fire of God hits him and starts speaking in tongues. And then all of a sudden, in perfect English, he says, I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. God opens doors that no man can shut and closes doors that no man can open. Whew! No accent. Wendy says, he spoke better English than we do. And they confirmed afterwards, he doesn't know any English. He was speaking the mysteries of God. The Spirit of God on the inside of him was speaking. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yes, the Spirit of God is still operating in the lives of people that will believe, in the lives of people that will receive, in the lives of people that would dare to step out and dare to let him, live through them. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says in verse 2, he that speaks in an unknown language, unknown tongue, speaks not unto men. What happened with that Asian man wasn't so that he could speak and declare for somebody else to hear. That's not what tongues is about. Okay? It's cool when it happens. It's cool when it can be a sign to the unbeliever. It's all right. I mean, when they came back, everybody, I was here when they got back, they were like, Pastor Mark, we were watching the book of Acts unfold right before our very eyes. And that's all great and that's wonderful. But the fact of the matter is, what was happening was what was happening here in verse 2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up. Woo! This is so awesome. The Spirit of God is given. I don't have time to dig into all of this today, but the Spirit of God, you know what? I might just take the time. The Spirit of God, listen, is given to you to build you up. How does he build you up? He tells you who you are in him. For that Asian man to stand up and through by the Spirit of God to say, I am more than a conqueror. He had never thought of himself as a conqueror before. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what he was saying. But the Spirit of God on the inside of him was letting him know, you are more than a conqueror. God's going to open doors that no man can shut and closes doors that no man can open. He is strengthening his spirit man. He is identifying who he is in Christ just after he got saved. Praise God. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit knows what we need to pray for. The Spirit helps our infirmities. The Spirit speaks and he builds us up. And what is he doing? He's telling us who we are. He's telling us who God is in us. He is giving us the power, the strength, the boldness. If you deal with fear, if you deal with not being bold in different areas, man, start praying in the Holy Ghost. Let him start. You say, well, I don't want to pray in tongues. I don't want to speak in tongues. That's not that important. Man, Paul says right here in 1 Corinthians 14, I pray in tongues more than you all. Now, what he was talking about here, he says, but I just don't do it a whole lot in public service because I don't want to talk to people in tongues or, you know, in another language because it's not going to help them out because it's for me. It's to build me up. In Jude, turn with me over to Jude. Book of Jude. It's right before the last book of Revelation. One chapter. He says this in verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. You're not building up your faith. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. He says, how do you do it? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, let me show you two more scriptures, then I want to talk to you for a few minutes. Go back now to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And so all of this is happening. The Holy Ghost, this was the evidence that the Holy Ghost came in. And so Peter stands up. Peter, who had denied the Lord, Peter, who ran from people, Peter, who didn't, you know, who was afraid for his own life, all of a sudden he's got a new boldness. All of a sudden he's got a new mandate. All of a sudden he's a different person because he is baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he starts preaching to all the people that had crucified Jesus. He starts declaring. He don't care whether or not he's going to get arrested. He don't care what they're saying. He is declaring the gospel to them by the Spirit of God. And so he starts talking to them about Jesus. And he starts saying that he was raised up. Verse 32. This Jesus has God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Exalted up to heaven, exalted by the right hand of God. Look at this. And having received of the Father the promise. Somebody say the promise. The promise. The promise of the Holy Ghost. He hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Jesus did what he said. He prayed to the Father. The Father gave him and sent out the Holy Ghost. And when they heard this, verse 37, after he had talked to them a couple of other things, they were pricked in their heart. They said unto Peter, verse 37, and to the rest of the apostles, well, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one into the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. There's salvation right there. There's that born again experience. And you shall receive the gifts, the gift, the gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For, here it is again, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. So on the day of Pentecost, the very first salvation message was about the Holy Ghost, was about God giving you a gift, was about God giving you a promise, was about God doing something on the inside of you and making something available to you. Some of you may be new here today, or maybe you haven't really heard a whole lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit. And that's a shame that the church isn't talking about it. And it's a shame that some churches have taken things to such an extreme, you know, that they've made it seem like that, you know, well, I don't want to be weird and I don't want to be crazy and I don't want to be that kind of person. And that's not, the Holy Ghost didn't come to make you weird.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost didn't come. God didn't give that to you to make you an outcast of society. The Holy Spirit is given to you to lead you and to guide you into all truth, to reveal Jesus on the inside of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that the Holy Spirit is given unto us so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I get to walk in the Spirit. I get to discover everything that God has for me. I get to be built up. I don't have to live this life by myself. I don't have to try to figure out how to work through it on my own. And so when I pray in the Spirit, when I pray in the Holy Ghost, what happens is the wisdom of God, the mysteries of God, His plan for my life begins to work its way out. I begin to have knowledge that I didn't have before. I begin to know things, because the things that God has prepared for you, the kingdom of God that's available to you and that is in you, was given to you, listen, was given to you for you to demonstrate Christ here on the earth. But it's not something that can be reasoned out with your natural mind. You won't know. Everything that God's given to you has to be understood from the Spirit.
Amen.
Let's just look at it. First Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible tells us in a couple of other places that we have now become the temple of God, the temple of the habitation, actually of the Holy Ghost. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verse 9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now listen, this is powerful. This is powerful. You've got to get a hold of this. Your natural eye and your natural ears and your heart has not grasped what God has prepared for you. You can't understand it just with, you know, just what somebody's telling you. You can't understand it just by what you see. You can't grasp it that way. Our heart, listen, your heart, the Bible says that out of your heart flows the issues of life. This is so essential that you get this. And so Proverbs 4 says that we are to guard our heart with all diligence, right? Out of it flow the issues of life. But the only way that we've been able up to this point, Man, I'm going to try to keep it together here. The only way that we've been able up to this point, and I say we, I'm talking about humanity, has been able to affect our heart is by what we see and by what we hear, what we're experiencing in this natural realm. You know, and that's a gateway into your heart. All right. But that's not the primary way for you to get revelation knowledge. See? So because everything that has been given to you hasn't been given to you naturally. It's been given to you in the spirit. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that all things that pertain unto life and godliness have been given unto me through the knowledge of him. Now, let's pull that scripture back up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. And so he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So how am I going to figure out, or how am I going to experience what God has prepared for me, what God has given to me? Well, let's look at the next verse. It says, but, this is a good but God has revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now look at verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We've got a whole new spirit that's available to us. We've got a whole new spirit that's in us. He says, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Now, to me, this is something that is not talked about very much in church. This is not something, somehow, if you read this, you think, oh, I'm just supposed to automatically know. No. He's telling us that the Spirit of God is given to you, is given to me, is made available for a number of different reasons. But one of the primary reasons that he is so that we may discover who we are, so that we may discover what God has given us, so we may discover his destiny for our life, so that we may walk out. See, the Bible says that when you're born again, that you are in the Spirit, you live in the Spirit. But then he says, let us also walk in the Spirit, that the Spirit of God is given to us so we can live like King's kids, so that we can live like children of the Most High God, so that we can experience his best for my life. I don't have to continue to try to figure out how my life's supposed to be. I don't have to try to live my life my own way. I get to walk in the power and the Spirit of God. Not only that, but along with getting knowledge of what he has for me and who I am and those things that have been freely given unto me, I have the power of God that comes alongside of it to demonstrate the kingdom. Let me tell you, this truth has absolutely revolutionized my life. I lived my life. I grew up with a focus on the Word. I grew up believing the Word of God. I grew up, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at a young age, but I didn't understand what I'm talking to you about today, because the circles I grew up in, the Holy Ghost was just given for, I don't know, you can have, you know, go to a service and have a Holy Ghost good time, whatever that's supposed to mean, or, you know, or have these wild demonstrations, or, you know, or maybe there's some power associated. I did not know, or did not understand the relationship that we're to have with the Holy Spirit, that what a friend he could really be to each and every one of us, to truly talk to us, to lead us, to guide me. And so when I discovered how much God loves me, and that the Holy Spirit is given not to produce a result in my life, but actually to produce a relationship with him, that the love of God, it was out of his compassion and out of his great love that he says, I'm going to put my Spirit in man. That I love Mark so much that I don't want to just walk with Mark. I want to be joined to Mark. I want us to be one together. That's the cry of God's heart is union. That life now is led, you know, in togetherness. That we work together. That it says that the Lord worked with them with signs and wonders. That we're doing kingdom business together. That everything that I do now, I do just in this union with Him. And when I started discovering that, next thing I know, I started hearing the voice of God more clearly in my life. God began to give me insight. God began to instruct me. I was on a flight back one time from Atlanta, and the Lord said, I want you to start talking. I want you to talk to the person next to you. And I don't like to talk to people on airplanes because people, you know, I mean, they got their earbuds in and all that. But the Spirit of God says, I want you to talk to her. So I started talking to her. I said, okay. And next thing you know, we're talking about the Word. We're talking about church. And then as a result of it, God caused an amazing relationship with a pastor in Gadsden to form that would have never happened had I not listened to the voice of God. I cannot tell you the number of times that God has put somebody on my mind and I've called them. Ministers, God, just in the last few years, this has happened 3 or 4 times that I call them. People that I think are doing great. And in the middle of it, I said, how are you doing financially? What's going on with your finances? Well, we're going through a tough season. We're struggling. I said, okay. I said, our church is going to send you, you know, in some cases $500, other cases $1,000. They just break down crying because they needed the money at that time. They couldn't pay their bills, but because somebody was willing to listen to God and say, Lord, use me. Let me be a vessel. I'm willing to just live the life you want me to live and to discover who you've created me to be. It's positioned us and positioned this church to be a blessing to people over and over and over again, to the point that last year we were able, which I've said for the last few weeks, to give over $100,000 away to ministers, to missionaries. And I mean, it's remarkable that when you set yourself up to be a blessing and say, Lord, use me, and to listen to His voice, that He'll get the funds to you. He will put you in position to be a blessing to other people's lives. Not only that, but just watching the miracles take place. Not only that, but just being at a place now where I just get to live in peace. Get to live, you know. I mean, just we have one thing after another happen. When we went out to Denver on Friday for Seth's graduation, I'm telling you, we left here at the church. I timed it right to get down to the airport just in time for us to leave. We get down to the airport, and Jennifer left one of her bags here. I said, well, we're not going to panic about it. I said, if I remember correctly, Cynthia is supposed to go over to the church. I'm going to give her a call. I mean, instantly, the Lord gave me instruction on what to do. Called Cynthia. She was here, or she was on her way here. She picked up the bag, took it to the airport. I'm telling you, He wants to be involved in every little day parts of your life. Got it to the airport, and Jennifer got through. She said, you go on through the line, tell them to hold the plane. Like I have that kind of favor, but you know. Anyway, but she got there in plenty of time and everything worked out. We get to the graduation yesterday, about 45 minutes early. We want to make sure we get a good seat. We got there and we did not get a good seat. There was not a single seat left. Wow. Did I freak out? No. I almost wanted to, but you know, I thought, here's what I'll do. I know people here at Karis now. I'm going to go try to pull a few strings. I went to everybody I knew. Not a single string got pulled. It's kind of like, well, when you get to the end of yourself, God says, now, I wasn't stressed out about it or anything like that. We decided close to the front row, left, just stand against the wall. Well, outside, right, there's a door right there, and outside, and my whole family's there, by the way. So we're talking about, there's 6 of us. There's me, Jennifer, Olivia, Justin, and Brooke and Daniel as we watch Seth. And so right outside is a patio. So you know what we did? We got the chairs from the patio and just put it right against the wall and sat there, and I had a front row seat to everything that was going on. Nobody else had that.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit, you know, we didn't stress out. The Comforter, you say, well, that's just silly. That's no, that's walking with God. That's living with Him. That's Him providing in every area. That was important to see my son graduate. And because he's interested in what's going on in my life, he's the best friend you could possibly have. He'll put you in a place where you can minister to others, where he can come right alongside of you, you know, and tell you things about others. And the healing power of God will be there. I'm telling you, he'll lead you. He'll guide you. If you'll just open your heart to him and not just say, well, I just want to live according to my old doctrine. No, no. What Jesus came for was us to have a living, vibrant relationship with God. That's not just, well, let me read scripture and see what he wants me to do today. Thank God for this, but he also wants to live life where he can truly tell you, hey, don't go this way to work this morning. There's a wreck that way. You don't have to have the Waze app when you got the Holy Ghost app. Amen. He can tell you where to go and what not to do. Praise God. And he gives you power for living. Power for living. Power for living. One last scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Alan, would you come on up? Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says this, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Man, it is a life of walking and living in the Spirit. I want to tell you that maybe if you're here this morning and you don't quite know or quite like what I've been saying is a little bit foreign to you. Just listen to me for a few minutes. What I've been saying is like, man, is it possible to have that kind of relationship? I want to tell you absolutely 100% you can experience God every single day. You can hear from Him every single